Division in Germany after Sunday's election brings a surprise result. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. The Alternative for Deutschland, an anti-immigrant, anti-Euro party, has won third place, giving it seats in the German parliament for the first time. Now, Chancellor Angela Merkel faces a rather tough task as she looks for coalition partners to govern with, worrying investors concerned about Europe's largest economy. The BBC's Rob Young is outside the Bundestag in Berlin.
The only majority coalition which is viable is made up of Angela Merkel's CDU-CSU bloc together with the Green Party and the Liberal Free Democrat Party. Now that is being called the Jamaica coalition here because the black, yellow and green colours of those parties. But it may well be difficult to reconcile the Liberals and the Greens. The Greens, for example, want to raise taxes. The Liberals want to cut taxes. And so some commentators are saying it could be many months of talks to try to put together a stable coalition. Some people are even saying there may not be a functioning government at the turn of the year. And if, when such a coalition is put together, what could that mean then for policies, particularly in terms of business and the economy? Holger Schmieding is the chief economist at the German bank Berenberg.
I think actually if all of these three focus on their key strength, their key messages, there is actually a good government that could come out of it.
Is there an economic rationale then to the result? Because some of the gains for the AfD happen not in economically depressed areas, but in wealthy areas.
The slogan of Angela Merkel was that Germans were living well and they should vote for her to vote for stability. But some people clearly do not feel the booming economy, the rising wages, the record low unemployment that there is here. Parts of Germany are depressed, particularly in the old former East Germany. And so it'll be interesting to see how Angela Merkel and her new coalition, when it is up and running, responds to that. Do they try to encourage more employers to those areas which are depressed? And how do they try to get those people who had voted for the mainstream previously, who decided to go to the AfD this time?
Rob Young in Berlin. Let's do the numbers. As Merkel builds her coalition, investors are sending the euro sliding 0.48% rather against the US dollar on concerns about an increasingly complex political environment in the nation. Meanwhile, Germany's DAX is up 14 points or 0.15%. Now, Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has dissolved parliament and called elections a year earlier than expected. The Nikkei closed up 101 points or 0.50%. Now, the fallout from London revoking Uber's license continues. On Friday, authorities in the British capital said Uber wasn't following safety regulations and that its current license, which runs out on September the 30th, wouldn't be renewed. More than 700,000 people have signed a petition to support the company. The world's largest taxi hailing app employs nearly 40,000 people in London.
I appreciate Uber has an army of PR experts. I appreciate Uber has an army of lawyers. They've also made aggressive threats about taking us to court.
That's London's mayor, Sadiq Khan. Speaking to the BBC this morning, he defended the city's decision, said he wouldn't be bowed by pressure.
I'm quite clear in my mind. London should be a place for new technology. London should be a place where new companies set up. But you got to play by the rules.
Now, Transport for London, or TfL, said on Friday that Uber doesn't conduct background checks on drivers or report criminal behavior as it should. That's why it found the company not fit and proper to hold a license. However, Uber's Fred Jones said the company wanted to meet TfL soon to understand the details around those complaints.
I think the most important thing that's become clear is, you know, we need to sit down with TfL to understand these concerns. And once we understand them, we can work with them to figure out, you know, what is it that they would like us to do and how can we move forward? And I think that is the important next step.
Uber has found itself in hot water around the globe. It's been banned in Bulgaria, Denmark and Hungary. Oil prices are going up again. That's partly down to OPEC's ability to rein in member states like Nigeria to slow production. But higher prices could also help smaller oil producers like Ivory Coast and Ghana on the West African coast. A dispute between the two was settled today. The BBC's Lucy Burton has more.
Nearly 10 years ago, a site with the potential to yield nearly 300 million barrels of oil was found some 30 miles offshore from the Ghanaian coast. Tullow Oil discovered those fields, but just as they started to drill, next-door neighbours Ivory Coast said the oil was in fact in their territory. The multi-year dispute was settled over the weekend in Ghana's favour. George Casno from Tullow Oil says that means full speed ahead.
We will now seek to procure a rig and get the necessary permits in place from the government of Ghana, and we would expect and hope to start re-drilling around the end of the year.
It's hoped the output from the fields will increase to 80,000 barrels per day by the end of next year. That still pales in comparison to Africa's largest oil producer, Nigeria, which produces nearly 18 times that amount. But as global oil prices begin to rise once more, West Texas crude hit a four-month high last week, the ruling will certainly help the Ghanaian government's coffers. I'm the BBC's Lucy Burton for Marketplace.
Finally, news that Australian banks are scrapping ATM fees. Some say it's an attempt to curry favour with the public as banks face big reforms. Your listening loyalty is priceless, of course. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC.